As I begin every sermon, I tell you and I charge you to pray for your pastor and his wife. I wish, I've actually thought about this, I kind of wish there was a reality show based on pastors, good pastors, so that you can have a glimpse of what our lives are like sometimes. There's a lot of reward in our lives. There's a lot of great things that we get to be a part of. Investing into people's lives and seeing people change is one of the most rewarding things you could ever do in your lifetime. That's one of the reasons why teachers love being teachers. It's not for the pay, it's just for investing into people's lives. But then there's days where it's really hard. There's spiritual burdens that we carry that people don't ever get to see. There is a weight that we carry sometimes, and it's not all the time, but there's a weight that we carry sometimes that just weighs us down. And I can't urge you enough to pray for your pastor and his wife. You have an incredible man and woman of God before you, and an incredible servant's heart, and they need your prayers. That's right. Alright, I'm going to talk to you about hope, not JC's puppy, but the hope that we read about in the Bible. Oh, it feels good to have that part over with. We hear about hope often. It's a part of our regular conversation. We read about it in books. We hear about it from politicians. We see it in entertainers. And we can also become so familiar with the word hope, and we can say it so often that it loses its value, its importance in our life. How many times have you said, well, I hope you feel better soon? Like all the time. Well, I hope this, or I hope that. We say hope, and we use the word hope all of the time. Hope is a big part of our lives. As a child, I grew up hunting and fishing with my dad, and it's an honor to have my dad here with me today. I can remember every hunting season was filled with its own hope. Will this year be the year? Will today be the day? Are we even going to see anything? What if I see a really big buck? Will I execute the shot? I won't tell the story of when we saw one and my dad didn't have one chambered. You can ask him about it later. Will I miss? Will we have to pack it out very far? What is today going to hold? I remember even last year in 2015, Gerald Workman and I were going deer hunting. October 26th, we got up early in the morning and left town and headed for the mountains. And it was dark and raining as we were driving up the woods in this logging road. And I just remember there was a moment where I daydream a lot. My students call me squirrel because I'm so distracted all the time. There was this moment when we're driving in the truck and it's dark and it's raining. It's super early in the morning. And I was just daydreaming of what was going to happen as we began hunting. What was going to happen as we began hiking up this hill? What were we going to see? And I just love what hope can do for your imagination. And hunting is a big part of being hopeful. Just a small hope of harvesting a deer has brought me so much joy and anticipation in my life. The hope associated with hunting has always brought me excitement. Even in this last September, I was able to relive those memories from childhood as I had the privilege of taking my dad hunting. He came down and stayed with my wife and I was able to take him to places that I knew had deer, and I found myself dreaming and hoping of those scenarios all over again. But this time it was for my dad. Can I get him a deer? Will he make the shot? What was going to happen today? What are we going to see today? And this last September, for the first time, my dad and I were actually alongside together to harvest a deer. Growing up, I'm a little resentful of this. My brother was always the one hunting with my dad when he got a deer. So this was the first time in our lives where we were together to get a deer, and that's why I didn't invite my brother along today to hear the sermon. It's amazing what just a little hope can do for a person. If it's hunting, or maybe it's your favorite sports team, I'm sorry, Alan, it's just not going to be their year. Hoping for that relationship, hoping for that job promotion, hoping to be liked or accepted, hoping for a better tomorrow, hoping Friday comes sooner than later. Isn't it funny how much hope we have for Friday? Like, just for Friday. Like, oh, it's only Tuesday. When's Friday going to be here? It's fascinating to me how humans can do this. How the hope of something good can change their entire perspective. But then there's the flip side. What happens when our hopes fail? What happens when it doesn't work out the way you'd hope for? When things take a turn? Then it hurts. Then it's sad. Some people may become reluctant to hope again. Some may become guarded. After seeing our hopes fail over and over, we stop believing. Our condition gets worse. And unless you're a hunter, somehow past failures or missed opportunities bring hunters more hope. It's really weird how men are wired like that. But losing hope is a discouraging thing. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Unfortunately, the things in this world won't always live up to our hopes and expectations, but thank God that we have a greater hope than anything this world can offer. Let me read to you Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and it might be on the screen behind me. Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, this is the part you need to pay attention to, you will share in all His glory. That is hope. Because if all the glory I have to look forward to is my own, that's pretty depressing. Right? But if someday, when Christ reveals Himself to the whole world and I get to be a part of what He's doing, and the whole world sees that I take inheritance to what He has, that I share in His glory, I now have hope for a brighter tomorrow. Amen? Amen. We can get excited about this kind of hope. There's new life. How many of you have ever wanted to hit the reset button on life sometimes? Like, well, I didn't go the way I wanted it to. Is there a reset button? There's new life in Christ. It says, set your sights on the realities, not the myths, not the theories, but the realities of heaven. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. People can get really involved with the world news. Me, local news, I won't watch it. Will not watch the local news at 6 o'clock, 11 o'clock, whatever it is. The reason why is because I don't want to set my sights on the realities of earth. I want my sights to stay on the realities of heaven. And I'm not going to be discouraged by what's going on in this world. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. I remember the day when I realized that my DNA was to be a pastor. I argued God for a long time that I was not meant to be a pastor. But I remember the day when I realized, looking back on who I am and the nature of my personality and all that stuff, looking back and saying, oh, maybe you did wire me to be a pastor. And finding that my life had been hidden in Christ that whole time. Finding that my purpose was in Christ. And He gave me that. And that, finding my purpose was the greatest day ever. Because when you live life without purpose, it's a depressing thing. And someday, you will share in all His glory. This verse gives us hope. And true hope creates excitement. If our hope of heaven and of sharing in the glory of Christ is real and is authentic, then we will get excited about it. We'll set our sights on it. We'll dream about the possibilities, the scenarios, the realities of heaven. Just like I can sit in a truck on a logging road on a cold, dark morning, dreaming about the what-ifs of that hunting day, I can dream about the what-ifs of what heaven's going to be like someday. I can dream about the what-ifs of my reaction when I see Jesus face to face, when I touch the scars in His hand, when I see Paul and hear the tone of his voice and how he talks, when I can look at Peter and ask him what he was thinking when he cut a guy's ear off. I can sit and dream about the what-ifs of heaven, and it brings me hope. The seed of hope should not just carry us through the times, but it should get us excited. If you just go around saying, well, my hope is in Christ, someday it'll be better, that's not true hope.
That's right.
Because you don't just be like, well, it's Tuesday, Friday's going to come around someday. No, you get excited about Friday. You're like, oh, I can't wait till Friday. Okay? True hope gets us excited.
That's right.
Since His word is true and our God is faithful, this hope will never fail us. The Seahawks can lose the Super Bowl on the one-yard line, but my God will never fail me. That is true hope. Amen?
Amen?
We can place everything in this hope. This hope is vital to our lives. Hope is important because it can make the present moment less difficult to bear. If we believe that tomorrow will be better, we can bear a hardship today. Joseph Addison said this, "There are three grand essentials to happiness in this life. Something to do, something to love, and something to hope for." We have all of those in Christ. What if I were to ask you to think of the saddest thing on earth? What is the saddest thing on earth that you can think of right now? And if somebody asked me that question, this is my answer. An individual without hope. That is the saddest thing. When they don't have a reason to get up in the morning, that is sad. No hope that tomorrow will get better. No reason to wake up. I've seen the hopeless. You've seen the hopeless. They don't want to live. They just want to quit. Maybe it's the addict or the poor. Maybe it's the person who's been abused repeatedly. Maybe it's the guy who lost his job, his family, and everything, and he's struggling to climb out of the bottom. Not having any hope is unbearable. It drives people mad. But The church has been given the greatest hope of all. Not only do we get to share in all the glory of Christ when we get to heaven, but Revelation 21:4 says this: He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now that is hope. Amen? That is something I can get excited about. That is something when I encounter the hopeless, I can get them excited about. I can tell them that there is hope, that there is a better tomorrow, that there is a day when they won't have to deal with the stuff that they've dealt with on this earth. That is hope. In this world that we live in, it can be easy to read the headlines and get discouraged. There's evil all around us. There's shootings everywhere. There's racial injustice. The Middle East is a mess. And our own country has turned on itself with petty disagreements and arguments. Not to mention there's scary clowns going all over the place right now. We're quick to point the finger and blame the other side. And everyone is getting offended while offending someone else. It's disgusting. It's discouraging. It's a mess. But as the body of Christ, as the church of today, we have to declare the hope that we have in Christ. There's something to be said about a person who has a confident, convicting declaration of their hope. Somebody can argue scientifically with me whether or not God is real or not real. But they cannot argue with me the encounters that I've had with Him and the hope that I have in Him. You can't take that away from me. And if you encounter someone that needs hope, they can't take that away from you. And God is asking you to share that hope with Him. We need to set aside the issues and debates of today. I'm going to go through Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. Verse 1 through 3. Okay. So we must listen very carefully to the truth that we've heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Himself and then delivered to us by those who heard Him speak? The world is trying to ignore the message of hope, and they're trying to escape the salvation that we have in Him. It is our job, it says, we must listen very carefully to the truth that we have heard, or we may drift away from it. We cannot drift away from our hope. The world cannot afford to have Christians drift away from their hope. The world needs Christians to pay attention to the truth that they have heard and to proclaim their hope. Amen. We must not ignore this message like the world is doing, trying to escape something so great. We must place our hopes in the things. We must not place our hopes in things with broken foundations as the world is doing. You can hear Christine playing this song, and some of you can automatically think of what song it is. Maybe you've thought about it since I started preaching. But we're going to take a moment to sing this song, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, or also known as Christ the Solid Rock. Christine's going to lead it, and after we're done, I'm going to come up here and close our sermon. And you can stay seated. matter what we go through, our hope is built on Him. We know that as believers, redeemed and made holy, we have a hope that will last through eternity. There's a lot of things you can put your hope on today. A lot of things that you can put your hope on that will fail you, or break, or sink. But not Christ. No amount of corruption, disappointment in this life, hurt, or pain can take away what I have in Christ. No presidential candidate, no news headlines, no tragedy or loss. Nothing can take away my hope. Amen. This isn't a message that is new to you as believers. So it might just be a reminder of what you have. So here's my challenge to you. As the holiday seasons approach, we know that this can be a difficult time for some. Maybe you've lost loved ones that you wish were going to share this season with us, and now they're gone. The holiday season is a sad time for some, and we as the church have a hope that we can share with others. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a taste of this hope. Maybe you've been knocked down, or you've been fighting too long, and you just need a hope that you can find rest in. If that's you, I urge you and I challenge you to surrender your life to Christ. In your seat, right where you are, in your own words, cry out for the God of hope. Seek forgiveness and find peace that His Holy Spirit brings. He will restore you today. He will strengthen you today. The hope that we have in Him will bring you peace. Let us keep our spiritual eyes aware of the lost and hurting this season. Let us passionately share with others the hope and joy that we have in our Father. And I would be willing to guess that this week there's someone in your life that needs hope. It's inevitable. This week someone in your life is going to need hope, and you have a chance to share that hope with them. Church, that's my sermon for you this morning. It's just a gentle reminder. And I want to thank you for everything that you've done for my wife and I.